Blog Talk Radio.
Unwrap. Hidden beach. What?
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the PR Table. I'm Brother Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table with us is Mary Ann Williams, also known as Mama, and Brother Warren Feaster, all the way from Korea by way of Virginia today. So we're so glad that he is on Eastern Standard Time versus Southeast Asia Time. So with that, what we're going to be talking about tonight is holiday credit and debt. And if you were with us last week, we had a very good show last week. We were talking about, you know, prioritizing during the holidays. And for those of you who were not on the show last week, Brother Curtis Bishop had kind of left us high and dry last week. He gave us something to think about from last week to this week. And one of the things I remember him saying was, do you want to fix or do you want to cure? Or maybe he said it the other way. Do you want to cure or do you want to fix? And that got me to really thinking, Mama and Brother Feaster, you know, we may have some challenges out there when it comes to credit and when it comes to debt, especially during the holiday times. Not saying we specifically, meaning myself or the two of you, but people in general. And we see that as a result of decisions, as you said, Brother Feaster, weeks ago, the decisions that you make over the next 45 days when you said that statement, you got to live with on January the 1st. So as you all know, we always try to be proactive as on the show, and we talked about being proactive way before Black Friday came. So what's your thoughts on just the topic that we're going to be talking about tonight? Mama, Brother Feaster, let's just jump in and start having the back and forth dialogue right now, and let those who want to jump into the conversation at 914-338-1692. Press 1 on your dial pad. We see you light up on the switchboard. But let's just go ahead first into just the topic, and let's see where the conversation takes us from there. So, Mama, Brother Feaster, what's your thoughts on the topic?
Okay, holiday, of course, we're talking about this season here, and this is a time when people do get in debt, and the debt is accumulated by the unwise spending during this time of year. And that's all I have to say about that.
Well,
quiet already.
Well, I'm kind of moving around and doing some things as I do this also at the same time. But I'll just leave my comments for when we start a discussion. So I'll just say that I'm ready for the discussion.
Well, let me tell you what we've placed out there so far for everybody. We placed out there, you know, that we're going to be trying to be proactive about dealing with credit and debt during the holiday season. And one of the things that I thought about, I said, you know, is it too late? Is it too late because we're almost at the time of the Christmas holiday when the presents are given out to people? Are we too late to be talking about it right now? And then I kind of thought to myself, y'all, I said, you know, that's really just the enemy, because God says with me, all things are possible. So even for those who went out and have overspent, because everybody doesn't do it, right? Everybody doesn't go out there and use credit during the holidays. Everybody doesn't go out there and get debt. So we're not painting a picture across a broad spectrum for everybody. But what about those individuals that have? Is it too late? It's not too late for most items, because for so many things that people buy on credit, you also can take those back. Am I right?
Yeah.
If you went out and purchased a TV on credit and you didn't do some of the things that we're going to talk about in a few moments, it is not too late to go and retract that. We're not talking about going out and spending, you know, $200-$300 on some food, you know, at a restaurant. Well, you can't do anything about that. If you use your credit and got into debt because of that, because you wanted to ball during the holidays and take this person out or have your bar tab, you pretty much going to have to suck it up and drive on. But for things that are tangible, things that you have sitting up in the closet hiding from the kids, I'm just trying to tell everybody it's just not too late. One of the things that I really thought about was that came to me, if you will, was about debt to limit ratios. Debt to limit ratios. And I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it, because we don't talk like that during normal everyday language. But let me tell you what debt to limit ratios are. If you have $1,000 on your credit card, for whatever reason, you have $1,000 on your credit card, and you owe $100, your balance to limit ratio is 100 to the 1,000. So it's 100 to 1,000. If you have a $1,000 limit and you owe $700, your balance to limit ratio is, the balance is 700, your limit is 1,000. Why is that important? The reason that is important is because it affects so many other things when it comes to your credit. I was looking at some information today, and I was looking at Experian, one of the credit reporting bureaus, and somebody had posted a question to Experian, and they said, what is the appropriate balance to limit or debt to income ratio? It said, I don't maintain a balance on my credit cards, but I worry that I have credit limits that are too high. And I like how they broke it down. They said, your balance to limit ratio, also known as your utilization rate, is calculated by dividing the total of the balances on your credit cards by the total of your credit limits on your credit cards. A high balance to limit ratio warns creditors you may be experiencing financial difficulty or using credit to live beyond your means. Do you understand what I'm saying? I didn't write it. And then they also said a high utilization rate or a high balance to limit ratio is a strong sign of credit risk, second only to your payment history. So according to VantageScore, your balances should not exceed 30% of your credit limits. So let's think about that. I want everybody to think about this, and we want to kind of put out some things for y'all tonight that deal with things that can help you, being proactive, or even if it's to a point of having to be reactive or needs to be reactive. So how do we even understand what our balance to limit debt balance to limit ratios are? Here's what I would say. You have to first go back to your credit card and know what your balances are. Only person that's going to do that is you. Only person who's going to do that is you. So we heard what Experian said. Experian said you shouldn't have no more than 30%, a 30% balance on your credit card for whatever that limit is. So the first step is, let me go and take my credit card statement and see exactly what it is. I think, Mama, in the back of a lot of people's minds, they kind of know. We kind of know. You know, I know if maxed out on my credit card, or if I really don't have anything as far as a balance on there. I know that off the top of my head. I can tell you that. But sometimes if you just take that piece of paper and you take a look at it and you say, okay, I know I have a $500 limit on this credit card, 30% of that $500, what is that? And then I go and look at that on my credit card statement and I can see that I'm over that 30%, then that should be an indicator that, okay, do I even need to use this credit card right now? And notice that I said one key word. I said need to use. And I was thinking about that. I said, you know, this is the holiday. This is the time when we want to do things, you know, for our children. You know, we're flying the girls down here for Christmas, right? So, you know, buying plane tickets. You know, that's just one part of the visit. Ain't no telling how much they're going to hit me for when they get here. You know what I'm saying? You know, they're in college. But the reality is I had to still, you know, because I don't buy plane tickets with my debit card. I use my credit card. So I still had to make sure, okay, if I'm going to go and buy these plane tickets on this credit card, do I have a way to pay it back? Now, I'm going to suggest that it may be okay. And this is me, Mama.
Yes.
I'm going to suggest that it may be okay to go to 40% of your credit card limit if you got a plan. during this time, if you have a plan. See, you can't just go all willy-nilly because of the holidays and think that it's not going to come back to you, or it's not going to come back to you after January the 1st and the reality is going to hit, or when that bank statement comes or that credit card statement comes. I'm willing, this is just me, I'm willing to go 40%, but I'm not going to be willing to go 60 and 70%. I'm not willing to do that, because if I don't have a plan to pay it off, then why should I be using it in the first place? So I wanted to bring that out. And the other thing is, and I'll let y'all jump in. When we talk about balance to limit ratios, I gave you the example. I have a credit card that I have a $1,000 limit on, and I only owe $300. Good, I'm good, because it's only a 30%. Or even if I stretch it a little bit, like I just mentioned, and go to 40%. Okay, understand that. But here's the thing that the person who responded for experience to the consumer in their question on their website, here's what I'm going to put and add to that. We can't just look at the individual ones. We need to look at the collective. So if I have 4 credit cards and I have one, well, let's just go with 4 credit cards. Let's say I have just 4 credit cards. It's not good for me to go out there because I have a $500, let's say I have a, I'm making real simple math. I got a $500 limit on each one of them. 3 of them, I owe like $400, for example. But on one, I only have a balance of like 50. Sounds crazy, but trust me, I've looked at enough people's credit reports to know that it works out like that and people have these type of challenges. So I can't look at, I'm suggesting that don't look at that one credit card, mom or brother feaster, that has only the $50 balance and say, hey, my balance to limit ratio is good because I'm well under the 30%. Are you really? Because if you take all 4 of your credit cards and you add the balance to limit ratios up, all of them together, just think about it, 400, 400, 450. $850 on $2,000 balance or $2,000 limit. That's over 30%. That's over 30%. So we have to take into account the individual as well as the collective, especially during this time, because so many people or some people may say, well, hey, well, I got this credit card. I have a $500 balance. Only owe $50 on it. I can afford to put more credit on that particular card. And that person is absolutely correct. They can afford to put more credit on there because it's not taking them to a it's not maxing out the credit card and they are not going over 30%. But I'm urging everybody, look at the whole. Because see, when you look at the whole, then that puts it into a different perspective. Well, yeah, I'm only have a $50 balance on this one credit card, but I'm already, think about my scenario, I'm already at 40-something percent. So now that's going to make that 40-something percent go up. And it puts you more at a risk when it comes to your credit and when it comes to creditors looking. So what's your thoughts on that? Anybody got any questions or comments?
Well, I'm listening, but I must let you know that my connection is not good at all, so I'm only hearing a little bit of exactly what you're saying. But I will tell you that I am not as thorough in finance as you are, and as you were talking, I was trying to keep up, but between the connection and not being as thorough in finance as you are, it was somewhat difficult. So my question is there any way you could say what you just said to somebody like me? They don't really understand all the percentages and the 30%. And because as I look at it, and you know, you're probably talking to some people that really understand what you're saying, but, you know, I know there's somebody else out there like me that really probably was keeping up with it a lot more better. Not more better, it's good English right there, but a lot better than me. However, I got lost in there pretty early. So when I think about what you were saying, you know, all I could think about really was, you know, at the end of the day, when I look at my bills and I look at using my credit card, you know, how is that going to balance out when it's time to deal? I'm really not a good fan of credit cards. I understand that there's a use for them. I understand that there's a benefit for them and everything. But the problem I have with credit cards is a lot of times we don't look at what those what the small print is. You know, only thing we look at is you're approved up to X amount of dollars, $500, $5,000. But we don't look at, you know, some credit cards saying if you don't pay it off in 30 days, there's a 28% finance charge. Other credit cards say if you don't pay it off in a year, there's a 31% finance charge. And to me, like, for example, in the military, we have, well, in the Army, we have the STAR card. And it's pretty high. So people go and buy gas and buy food, you know, stuff like that on it, and not realizing that this little $5 meal, this little $20 tank of gas that you just put in is going to cost you double that once you look at trying to pay it off with the APR on it and everything. So, you know, that so for me, you know, I couldn't keep up with what you were saying. And that's how I do it when I look at if I'm going to use my credit card or not.
Okay, and that's fair. And I'm glad you said that because it's not something that we deal with, and I said that that's one of the things I said. It's not something that we look at on a normal everyday basis. Who does that, right? I don't even do it, but I'm not one who uses credit like that. So I'm thinking about those individuals who have credit cards and that I know have gotten themselves into trouble, whether it's through the holiday season or other times, or have extended themselves or overextended themselves on credit. I'm looking at, okay, how can we be proactive? What can we teach people right now about being proactive for those who have not went out there and overextended themselves? Because you remember, we've had plenty of shows already that dealt with what happens after January the 1st. We've had plenty of shows and conversation about what's going to happen or what's likely to happen or what is history shown to happen every February, right? So that's why that balance to limit ratio. So let me say it again, because it's not about me just throwing out information and saying, heck with it if you don't catch it. So I don't mind going over it again, Ruff Easton, for real. Whatever your balances are on your credit cards, if you owe more than 30% of whatever the balance is, then you probably need to hold off on applying or using more credit. So if you were writing it down, if you wrote down $1,000, 30% times 30%, 30% of that is $300. That's my scenario. But for everybody out there, what you have to do is be able to say, okay, let me first take out all of my credit card statements to find out how much money I'm owing on the credit card. And let me look and see exactly what my limit is. This doesn't work, Brother Feaster, unless you actually pull out your credit card statement. Let me give you a big reason why. Because a lot of credit card companies give you increases or decreases on your credit cards without you even knowing it. So you may think that you're good. I'm telling you what has happened. You may think that, oh, well, I'm good because all I have is $12,000 or $1,000 on this credit card. And what if they have reduced your credit limit? That has actually happened to me before, bro. Credit card company reduced my credit limit. Yes, they thought because I wasn't using it, I didn't need it. That happened several years ago. And my contention with the credit card company was this. I may have owed $300 on the credit card. At the time, my limit may have been $1,500. Well, that's not bad. But you reduced my limit down to $800. Well, now I owe my debt, my balance to limit ratio is a whole lot higher than what it used to be. So now that makes me look like I'm using more credit for my creditors when they look at it. So if I went out and applied for a loan and they look and pull my credit report, they're going to say, his balance is too high on their amount. Because here's what happens with these balance to limits. A creditor says this. If you owe $300 on a $1,000 credit card, at any given moment, you can spend $700, and now you can be maxed out. So the creditor, in the creditor's mind, the creditor is wondering, okay, if he or she should do that. But yet I've given them more credit. Are they going to pay me, or are they going to pay the other person when it comes down to it? So I'm going to suggest that we look at something else. We need to be making sure that, and this is for not just for us, but for everybody, we need to make sure that we take an account of how many credit cards do we actually have? How many credit cards do you actually have? I was looking at doing some research earlier, and I found out from looking at something called the State of Credit, and this was Experian as well. So every year for the last couple of years, they've been doing a study on credit and what's the credit makeup of America look like. And they said that you shouldn't have more than, or not you shouldn't, they didn't say that, but they said the average amount of credit cards that people have or average consumer has is 1.54, which is higher than what it was back in 2013. But if you think about it, the more credit cards you have, the more likely you are to use them. And when we talk about credit cards, y'all, we're not just talking about your credit card through your bank. What other credit cards, what other type of credit cards are out there? Y'all sure are quiet. I know y'all know the answer to that. Department stores, gas cards. We got these things that are out there for us to help us if we need it or for temporary. But if you got five and six different credit cards, you got a credit card at Macy's, you got a credit card at Sears, you got an Athe's credit card, you got the credit card through your bank, you got a credit card through your old bank, all that still falls into the same line as a credit card, which falls in line with what I just talked about with that balance to limit ratio. So you don't want to take the attitude that, well, I have a credit card with one bank and I have a credit card with my former bank. And looking at your balance to limit ratios of just those two credit cards, you got to look at all the credit cards that you have. Because at the end of the day, what you're really, really talking about, y'all, is how much money has one or however many creditors said that you can get? And then how much money do you owe all your creditors altogether? Why have this is kind of crazy to me. Is it necessary that I have a gas card when I have a credit card? Are the perks that they give me even worth me having the extra credit card?
And no, JR, I am really, I know you think I'm quite not. I'm struggling on this connection here, but I'm glad you're saying what you're saying, because a lot of times you've said two things that I really think that for the most part a lot of people don't either pay attention to or maybe even don't know. I remember talking to my sister when she was going into her doctorate program, and I was talking to her about her finances, and I was talking to her about, you know, a lot of other things, but in particular about her finances. And she was saying, at this time, I remember only having three credit cards. No, she had five. She had five credit cards. One of them was to a woman's department store. And another one was for like a MasterCard or a Visa, and she had like one or two more. And I was talking to her about finances, and she was a broke college student. She really didn't have a whole lot of money and everything. But as I would talk to her about her finances, she was like, I would ask her, what are your APRs on those credit cards? And all of them were over 17%. All five of them was over 17%. I think the highest one was like 25 or 29%. And I told her and I explained to her, if you don't pay attention to that, you're actually over the long run, over all five of them, paying more in interest and APR than you are on actually paying that minimum bill. And it's already designed against you with the minimum bill, minimum payment anyway. So what I told her was that, you know, and I, her being a smart college student, we just did simple math, you know. Add up all your APRs. Add up all your interest rates. And when she looked at it from that perspective, having all five of those cars, she was like, wow. You know, I never looked at it like that. So a lot of times we don't really pay attention to that. And you're right, I talked her out of three of those credit cards. And I think within a year or two, she got rid of one and was working on another one. But she really didn't pay attention to how much money she was spending out. That woman's department store, the only reason why she kept that, because she said, I want to keep it. But that's your prerogative. That's your choice. But she got rid of the other one, and I can't even remember what the other two were that she got rid of. And she ended up keeping one of the major credit cards in, like, that woman's department store. And I was like, if you keep that major one and you pay on it and use it, you can use it as your, you know, because she was struggling, trying to get herself together, you know, being a broke college student. And she was using it for what it's not really used for, but it was keeping her afloat. And I explained to her, if you're doing that, yes, that's detrimental, but still be smart about that. And so when she got rid of a lot of those other credit cards that she had, you know, that really helped her out a lot. Because then she realized now she's paying, instead of paying, it was like 60 to 70% on just interest in itself, now she's only paying like 30%, 40%. And, you know, you're saving money in the long run. The other thing that you said that really, this was enlightening to me when I found out about it, that a lot of people don't pay attention, is like you said, credit cards are not in your favor when it comes to that credit limit and that interest rate. They are not in your favor. Both of them are in the interest of the credit card company, the credit company, because that's how they make their money. They're adjusting your limit. It's not in your behalf. It's not when you're being faithful and paying all your payments on time or extra, and all of a sudden they give you a credit increase. It's not on your behalf. It's on their behalf, because just like you said, the average person that has a credit card is going to go out there and use it. You know, credit card, it takes a lot. Oh my gosh, I'm speaking from experience. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of discipline. You know, I mean, like right now, my wife gives me one credit card, and I really, the only reason why I carry it around is because I actually had a situation to where I was in Illinois, my family was in another state, and I had to go home because something had happened. And literally, I used a credit emergency plane ticket, you know. So that takes a lot of discipline. It took a lot of discipline for me to get to that point, you know. But, you know, a lot of times we don't look at those interest rates going up and down. We don't look at those that credit limit going up and down. And we don't pay attention to, it's to the advantage of the credit card company, the credit company. That's how they're making their money, you know. And matter of fact, I wish Adia was able to be on here tonight, because I would love for her to tell the story of when she was paying her credit card off on time. And they told her, if I remember correctly, they canceled her card because they wasn't making any money. Or they doubled her interest rate or something they did. And she was like, oh, well, in 30 days, this card will be paid off, because they was not making any money off of her. And they got upset and they were trying to get that money off of her. She ended up canceling the card. You know, and so we really, you know, I'm really glad you said that, because that right there, and I'm probably babbling, but it's just, you struck a nerve with me, because it's a lot of little things I'm finding out as I get a little bit older. It's a lot of little things that are eating at us that we really either don't know or not paying attention to, and it's really holding us down. It's holding us down, and it's stuff like this, having 4 and 5 and 6 credit cards because we want one for the gas. We want one for this department store. We want one for this clothing store. We want one for this shoe store, you know, but we're not paying attention to that. You know, if you look at them individually, oh, yeah, I can handle this 10%. I can handle that 15%. I can handle that 20%. I can handle that 30%. But when you put all that together, that's about 70% right there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you handle that 70% is what we need to be looking at, you know? Mm-hmm. And if we're just paying the minimum payment on those credit cards, if I remember correctly, that's 30 to 40 to 50 years of paying off that debt. And you've paid that bill over 3 or 4 times. So, I really, this is the time of year where 'tis the season to be jolly. That's what we want to do. And we want to give everybody everything. We want to express our love. But our love, the sacrifice that God wants to give us in love, it's not the sacrifice that's going to kill us that we can't get out of.
Mm-hmm.
The sacrifice that God wants us to give, yes, it's to kill us because God's sacrificial love, you know, he gave his life for that. But in the end, it was for the betterment of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about it 2 or 3 weeks ago. You know, if you're just a, you know, we hang out friend, then why am I going to get Coach Purse? Why am I going to get you an Eddie Bauer? Why can't I get you a department? You know, we like to go out and eat, or we like to go see movies. Why can't I get you a gift card for a restaurant or a movie theater, you know, in line with what we do? You know, and I think we, you know, we always say it's a thought that counts, but a lot of times do we really think about it? Or we're just being impulsive? A lot of these commercials are pulling us in. These advertisements are pulling us in. They start in October trying to get our money, you know, and Black Friday, and we swear it's the second Christmas, you know, and we're not really taking the time to really manage and really being mindful and thinking about what the season is about, what is going to happen on January the 1st. If we was really going to be smart, we celebrate Christmas giving. So my pastor, my father in the ministry, he really celebrates Christmas on December the 26th. Because what he does is when everybody go in and do their returns, and when the stores slice their prices in half because now they got a surplus, he goes shopping for him and his, well, now it's just him and his wife because everybody else is out the house. And he's been doing that for years for Valentine's Day. I buy my wife flowers at any. I'll send my wife flowers in the car because it's Thursday. But I told her I would not buy you any flowers on Valentine's Day because the $20 dozen of roses on May the 16th, on December the 3rd, on October the 1st is going to cost me $45 and $50. You know, that's just being mindful. You know, there's nothing wrong with taking a day to celebrate, but let's think about the cost of that day. And I think I done rant and raved for about 10 minutes, and I'm sorry if I did. But, I mean, we really, sometimes we really need to sit down and be mindful and think about, you know, what is this season about? What's going to happen after this season? There is a lot of this instantaneous, you know, microwave generation. Microwave time that we're in is, you know, everything we want it right now, and we got to do it right now. It's hurting us more than anything else. It's hurting us. I make toast on the stove. Takes a whole lot longer, but that toast is so good. And we've gotten away from taking, I'm sorry, I'm babbling. I'm done. Somebody else take over.
I'm trying to, my pen has run out. From how many times you said we? I think you said we about 422 times, Brother Peter.
There you go. There you go.
I've been waiting to do it. But you make some very good points. And from your context, we may be accurate, because that may be what you actually see. And one of the other points that I think I wanted to bring out tonight was about credit scores, and you kind of hit on that. So we're in this holiday season, and if anybody's out there that's going to use their credit cards for purchases, I think that it's really important to understand what their credit score is. Think about it. If you don't understand what your credit score is, or you don't know what your credit score is, it's not that that information is not there. It's the fact that you haven't taken the time to do it. Here's what I would ask. If you're planning to use credit for purchases during the holiday season, I'm going to ask the question, do you know what your credit score is? When I ask that question, do you know what your credit score is? 9 out of 10 times I've ever asked anybody that question, they'll say something like this. Oh, it's a 600, 685. I checked it last week. Or the last time I checked, it was this. But that's an incorrect response, because we don't just have one credit score. We got three. So here's the deal. They're all pulling from your creditors. All of the three credit bureaus may not utilize every single thing, all the same items. So, for example, you may have five creditors that you owe. All five of those may not be on each one of the credit reporting agencies. One may be only on TransUnion. The other one may have it on, it may be on Experian on the other one. And Equifax may not have it at all. Why is that important? Because if you go out there and you add more credit, if you spend more credit and put yourself more and more in debt, that means your credit score may be going further and further down the tubes. And then it becomes dangerous, because if you go out to obtain new credit, thinking that your credit score is one thing, but yet the person who you're applying credit from actually uses a different credit reporting agency than the one that you checked. And that goes back to what you said, Brother Fisa. That's how sometimes those high interest rates play a part in this. Because if I think that my credit score is a 750 because I checked it last week, but I didn't check the other two credit reporting agencies, and then let's say I decide to go and buy a car, because you talked about, Brother Fisa, how a lot of companies are marketing for us to spend money during this holiday. So let's say, you know what, I'm going to buy my daughter, I'm going to buy my son a car. And I go out there and I apply for financing through the credit card, I mean, through the car dealership. I found a car that I like. And I think I checked my credit score, and I had a 750. And then they come back and say, well, you know, this is the best that we can do. Your payments, Mr. Dunlap, are going to be blah, blah, blah. And then now I'm sitting there thinking, well, my credit should give me more than that. I should be able to have not a $400 car payment, I should be able to get it at a $300 car payment, and I shouldn't pay no more than 8% interest. But yet they're saying, let's don't let your car payment is going to have to be $500, and it's going to have to be, you know, 16% interest. So now I'm sitting there thinking, okay, why? And the dealer is not going to reveal to you anything other than we checked your credit, and you may be lucky if they tell you on the spot what credit reporting agency they actually use. But does that now slow up what you were planning on doing? Absolutely. One of the things that we told all of our students teaching the Army Financial Management course was you need to know what your credit score looks like before you go and apply for credit, so you don't run into a situation somewhat like I loosely explained just now. I want us to think about another thing. I wasn't going to talk about it, but I guess I will. I want us to talk about consolidation. Have you ever, and Brother Feast or Mama, have you ever received some notices in the mail from a credit card company that you don't have a relationship with that says, if you apply for a credit card with us, we'll allow you to take your balances from your current credit cards or any base, any other cards that you have, and you can put that on the new credit card. And you're not going to have to pay any interest on those for X amount of months. So I'm at Brother Feast, have you received any of that? Mama, have you ever received any of that?
No.
I have. I know a couple of people that have also.
Let me go to the caller. I'm going to come back to you, Brother Feaster, but we have a caller. I have no idea what number this caller is coming from, but I think it's somebody we know. Welcome to the PRF table.
It is somebody you know. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I actually was going to piggyback off what you said. I had an idea where you were going, but I also wanted to say that, for one, the credit card companies do that to me all the time. But before I get to that, or before I want to let you say what you're going to say on that first. But with credit cards, you have to be cautious, like Feaster said. But the key is, if you can't pay it off by the end of that month, then you don't need to use it. That's the bottom line. If you can't pay off the balance of your credit card by the end of the month, they're getting you. They are getting you. Unless you have a fabulous interest rate. And for you to have that, you have to have a long history of good credit. And that way you can negotiate your rate down. But for the most part, if you're not paying your credit card off at the end of the month, they're getting a good bit of money from you, just for allowing you to use that piece of plastic. So what you have to do, if you're using that, is find out if it's worth it to you in the long run. You actually have to do the long math, because like Lisa said, if you are a responsible credit card user, then 9 times out of 10, they're gonna either increase your, and somebody without good credit, they're gonna try to increase your rate, or send you a card with one of their sister companies to try to get you to switch a credit card for a higher rate. But you get that introductory rate, like you're talking about right now, the 0% interest for 6 months or a year. But then after that year, it's like 30%. So,
right.
And I hope I didn't steal your thunder on that.
No, not at all. Because I wanted somebody else to talk about something. I mean, you have the knowledge of it, so please share it.
So that's the thing. That's the catch with a lot of credit cards, though. When you do get that low introductory rate, you have to pay attention to what it goes to after that introductory period, because a lot of times it starts at 0%, and then after the 6 months or a year, honestly, it's about 22%. That's usually what they bump it to. So 22% is not a good deal. Even if you get that like $100 cash back, you know, for opening a new line of credit, well, you've paid them their $100 back and then some with that first, you know, 6 months of that new interest, that the real rate that they're going to give you, which is like 22%. So you really have to do the long math, like I said. You have to work it all the way out. You know, all that glitters is not gold, and we've all heard that expression before. So when something seems too good to be true, it usually is. Now, the one benefit to the 0% interest rate is if you know for sure that you consult, transfer this balance from one credit card to another, and if you have that 0% for 6 months, you're positive you're paying it off in the 6 months. That's the only way to benefit from that kind of deal. But if you can't do it, then don't bite that, because if they get you to bite on that deal, you're going to be paying them.
And this is what my thought was on that. And I had that same thought. You know, some of them are for 6 months, some of them are for 12 months, some of them are for 24 months. So it would be a whole lot better for an internal piece if it's a time frame that you know you're going to be able to take care of this. So, for example, if I owe $1,000 on the credit on my XYZ credit card, and I get something from ABC that says transfer the balance over here, if I got a plan and say, you know what, well, this is going to be 0% interest, so I'm going to put more on to what I already owe, then that may be a possibility. Or I know that something's going to happen in 6 months. I'm in the Army, so I'm going to get a bonus. I know I'm going to get a bonus check, or I know I'm going to get a bonus check for my job, and I can take that and pay the whole thing off all at one time and focus on what is procuring interest right now on the credit card, then that's a plan. All I'm advocating
right.
is this. You got to have some type of plan. If I can't
right.
ask you what the plan is and you can't tell me what the plan is, then bottom line, baby, you ain't got a plan. Because if you can't communicate it, it's not there. But Afisa
yeah.
said you got to do the long math. Well, only way you do long math is by writing it down. Most people don't do long math in their head except for my wife. I'm the guy that got to do it on a calculator, on, you know, writing it down. That's me. So most people don't have that type of skill, especially when it comes to our personal finances.
Right.
And the other thing that I wanted to bring out, too, about these consolidations, when you do that, you're applying for new credit.
And that affects your score.
It affects your score. So there's a trade-off, okay? If I'm going to apply for new credit and my credit score is already at a 500 or a low 600, why would I want to apply for more credit to have my credit score go down when the whole purpose of me paying off my credit is try to help my credit go up?
That's right.
So as you said, Shatar, all that glitter is not gold. So we have to be really, really careful, and I want everybody to be careful, especially during the holidays, because they pumping these advertisements out like it ain't going, like this last Christmas going to be, like they know Jesus coming or something, you know?
Absolutely. And then I wanted to add, when you gave a scenario where someone was buying a car, so that's another issue with credit, because your debt-to-income ratio is going to come into play with that. And that may be why you can have a good credit score but still not get a good payment. Because
right.
if your debt-to-income ratio is not adding up because you have this big balance on this credit card, they're going to give you a higher car note. And the same thing with a mortgage payment. They're going to do the same thing with your mortgage payment. If your debt-to-income ratio is not balancing out, you have more debt than you have income, or they will either not give you the interest rate for your mortgage that you think you're going to get, or your payment is going to be high, or you have to put more down. So
right.
it affects all of that. Credit cards is a big picture item. You really do have to look at the whole picture and not just think, oh, this is a quick fix, and they're going to give me an introductory rate of 10% or, you know, 20% off. 10 or 20% off of this purchase right now, and then give me $300 cash back next month. That's not, it may not be worth it. It
mm-hmm.
still may
mm-hmm.
not be worth it. So,
you know, one of the scriptures that come to mind is, you know, people say, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You know,
yes
I know that is a scripture out of Hosea chapter 4. But there's a part of that verse that usually doesn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. So it's
mm-hmm.
not that somebody doesn't know something that they're destroyed. It's because they know something and they're rejecting it. Now,
right.
that's not the whole verse in verse 6, but that's a key thing that I wanted us to think about. We have to know what we got going on. Brother Fisa talks about stewardship all the time. We know that's his baby. That's his, you know, that's his focal lesson of the whole PRF. It's stewardship. So if you don't know what your limits are, if a person doesn't know how much their balances are on their credit card, all they know is I got to pay $15 a month on this card because that's my minimum balance. I remember what my minimum balance is. That's not knowledge. You know, we got to make sure that we're looking at these statements. We got to make sure that they haven't just jumped up the interest rate. Just because they jump up the interest, let me tell you, if a credit card company increases your interest rate, makes it a higher interest rate, they're not going to have it jump from 12% to 19%. It's going to be gradual in most cases
right.
that I've seen. So it's 12%, and then next thing you know, it's 13%. Well, when
right.
it goes up that 1%, it may only take the payment from $15 to $15.30. And you know what? People just go ahead and pay it because it's not a significant jump. things that I've seen in my lifetime. I want us to make sure that we're really dealing with this last piece. And I'm going to suggest it. For any of us who have children in college, and we're talking about holiday credit and debt, I'm going to ask that every parent, every big mama, every pawpaw who is out here, when those kids come home from college, that you take some time to talk to your kids about credit and debt.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you why. Our children, when they go off to college, like it may have happened to many of us when we went off to college, especially first-year college students, get credit card applications in the mail. Everything doesn't go home to mom and dad's house. A lot of stuff goes to them right there at the school. They have credit card companies that institutions of higher learning allow the credit card companies to come and set up on the campuses. So they're a part of it, some of them. But if you're not going to talk to your children about it, it doesn't make sense 3 years down the road or when they get out, getting ready to get out of college, or if they decide to stop going to college, and now here they have this credit card bill that they're not able to pay, or they've allowed themselves to get a credit card bill that they weren't paying while they're in school. I'm talking to parents right now, or those parental figures, because we still got a responsibility to our children just because they went off to college. I had a conversation with my baby girl today. You ain't grown. You just got a little distance between you and I. So let's not get it twisted. So we got all the right in the world when our children come home from college, and most of them are already there, ask them the question. Do you have any credit cards? Now, if you like me, and most of us, we know what questions to ask our children to see if they're lying to us. But engage in the conversation. Do you have any credit cards? And then if they have any credit cards, ask them, do you have a balance on it? If they have a balance on it, what's your credit limit? So now you are able to see what their balance to limit ratio is. Ask them another question. How much do you pay a month? Most of the college kids I know don't also have jobs. So the question is, where are you getting the money from to pay it? Or are you taking the money that I'm sending to you, paying a credit card bill? And not only just paying a credit card bill, but paying interest. The other thing I would say that is very important for us to be asking our children when they come home, because I promise you, I'm going to hit both of mine when they get here. Man, I hit them on the first day, but trust me, before they go back to school, I'm going to ask them, I'm going to talk to them about it. I want them to know what their credit scores are. It is nothing worse than thinking that you don't have credit and you do, especially when you don't think that you have credit, but you do, and the credit that you do have is negative credit. That's not a good feeling, because it takes a whole lot longer to get stuff corrected on a credit report once it's on there. And it doesn't take a lot. It only takes missing one payment to have a negative piece of credit, negative mark on your credit report. So that's my only suggestion. I want all of us as parents, when our children come home for the holidays or as they're home, talk to them about it. And then if we have that conversation with them, maybe that will prevent some of them from thinking that they can go out and buy this and buy that for sometimes us on credit. Let's be real. When they go back to school, who's supporting them? Us. So I'm not trying to give my children any more money to give to somebody who is a creditor than what I have to. I'd rather them give me that money versus me giving them money every month and $50 are going to it. We got to be willing to help our children understand what being fiscally responsible is and how to utilize credit and when to utilize credit. I think enough of us on the line at the table today have probably made some mistakes when it has come to credit in the past. So why not try to help them to not make those same type of mistakes? Brother Feaster, Shatara, Mama, y'all got anything?
Like you said, I'm learning here.
I got you. I got you. Well, let me say this. Okay, go ahead, Murphy.
No, go ahead, Gerard. I'll wait after you.
No, I thought you was about to roll out. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I like your opening comment before this conversation because it was really appropriate for the direction that the conversation actually went. You know, you asked the question, is it too late, you know, to start now? Here we are, what, 2.5 weeks before Christmas? Is it too late? And, you know, it's really never too late, you know. And the way the conversation went tonight was a great way to show that it really isn't too late. We still have opportunity. We still have time. You know, as long as we're still breathing, we still have time. And even, you know, like Mama was saying, she's learning tonight. So just imagine now not only you that are learning, but those others that are listening that are learning. And from now and the next, you know, 2 weeks as they're making their shopping decisions, just imagine now the decisions that can be made. Just imagine now, you know, what they think about when they use their credit card versus cash or deciding a gift. You know, just imagine now. And from now on, you know, as we move into, you know, next year, January, you know, and we got a new year coming up and making those decisions, you know, I'm excited. You know, I too am learning every day more and more as I talk to these young soldiers. You know, and they making the decisions that I made growing up, and you know, and they're making different decisions, and that's how I'm learning from their mistakes and everything. So, I'm just excited that you asked the question, and you answered the question, but we answered the question also to show that it is not too late.
That's right. That's right. You know, let me tell you, one of the things that I found real interesting is when Experian did this annual study, their fifth annual study for 2014, the national average credit score is 666. I lied to you not.
That's funny.
That's funny, it's crazy, and it's downright kind of scary. Because if we start dealing with 666 and we say, you know, for some of us, we know that's not a very good number. But you think about it, that's the national average credit score. I ain't superstitious, man, but when I saw that, I said, what? Especially when they're also talking about the average debt that you know, per consumer is over $28,000. Everything has gone up. The number of credit cards that a consumer has, the average credit score, the average debt, all that has gone up since last year. We want that stuff to go down, bruh. But it's not going to go down unless we do some of the things that we need to do. I'm going to give us a task, all of us, and those of you who are listening, those who may be listening right now on the archives or listening online, there's a couple things that I want every last one of us to do, and it's not going to be a lot. I want every last one of us to, from this week to next week, take all of our bills from where we have credit cards and in particular. And I want everybody to find out what their balance to limit ratios are for those credit cards that they have or those credit loans that they have individually and then also collectively. I'm not going to ask anybody other than, are you over that 30%? But I think that as hosts of this show, if we do it and we're willing to talk about it, then maybe that'll bless somebody else for them to be able to say, you know what, since they did it, what's my excuse? As the individuals who are listening, as pastors who are listening, as ministers who are listening, what's my excuse? If they can do it, why can't I do it? Don't we want that same thing? Don't we hear that same thing, Brother Feaster, in the pulpit? what God did it for, what God did for you, for me, He'll do for you. So what's the difference? What's the difference? It's always about what somebody's willing to do for themselves and then what God can do after that. The other thing I want us to do is I want all of us to check our credit scores. If you go to annualcreditreport.com, that is the credit reporting or the site that gives free credit reports that is authorized by law by all three. So all three of the credit reporting agencies, this is the only one. You have plenty of companies out there that can pull your credit, but this is the only one that is not only supported, but when it comes to financial education, every last one of them will direct you to annualcreditreport.com. So you don't have to pay for anything. Now, here's the thing. Nobody gives you free, well, some people may give you free credit scores, but I don't know what is involved in them giving you free credit scores. But for most of them, there is like a fee of like $7.95 or something of that nature. The reason I'm leery about going to any old site, even if they say that it's free, because what does it cost me on the backside? Is there something else that I need to purchase? So however you want to get it, I'm saying let's find out what's out there on our credit reports before next week. We have to be willing to do some of those things so that we can find out what's going on with us. You know, again, and Hosea said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. You know, they're destroyed for the lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. So we're putting it out there. You can get your credit reports. You can see what's on your credit reports. It doesn't take anything but time. And sometimes if we're not willing to take the time, we're rejecting that knowledge that God has there for us. Because wouldn't it be a good thing if when we do this, which I'm hoping that we all do as those who sit down at this table regularly, if we find out that somebody has opened up a credit card in our name, wouldn't it be good if there's something that was on our credit card, I mean on our credit report, that 7 years have elapsed, then all we need to do is contact that company to get that negative mark off our credit. Sometimes we don't know when we're going to need to apply for credit, but the time to apply for credit is not when we need it. The time to apply for credit is when we need to go out there and to get it, and we've done all those preliminary things where we're comfortable before we even go so that we know we're getting the best possible rates that are out there. And, again, I'm not looking to get any credit anytime soon, but I am wanting to make sure that I'm doing my due diligence and I'm checking up to make sure that I can do stuff right. So, Mama, did you have anything before we shut it down for this evening?
No, I really received a financial education tonight. Thank you.
Right. Brother Feaster, final words for us, my friend.
Well, I really believe that my last comments were my final comments. I did a good bit of talking, but I learned also tonight. You were very thorough in your intro and, you know, some stuff that I really need to look at and how to, you know, look at my finances and everything. But this is a timely conversation, a time needed. It's never too late. There's always a time. As long as you're breathing, you still got opportunity to make a change. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with making a change mid-swing. Because I know, JR, you haven't said it, and we don't think that far, but right after the new year starts, tax season roll around. And we normally talk about tax season as we go into that. And I think that's appropriate because between the end of the year and the beginning of the year is when we really make a lot of decisions. You know, what they call it, I don't want to call it what they call it, but I'm going to call it what I call it. The second Christmas is rolling around, and it's really not Christmas. You know, I hope we start that a little earlier than normal until April, so we can really deal with some things and help people to prepare and plan and you know, be very mindful in their decisions as they get their refunds and stuff. So I'm glad I had the opportunity to be on it. Hopefully, well, we don't know my schedule, so
right.
If I don't talk to you before the end of the year, I want to say Merry Christmas to all and a Happy New Year.
Thank you,
brother. And I'm believing that we will have some type of communication before the end of the year. One of the things that I think we want to do for next week is we want to stay on this theme of holiday credit and debt. I don't think that this is a conversation that is over. I don't think that this is something that we just need to throw out there and just say, let's throw it out there and see, you know, let's drop the net and see who we can catch. I think that we have to do some due diligence, and that due diligence is being intentional about, you know, speaking about it. But those of y'all who weren't with us at the beginning of tonight's show, Brother Freista said something that was important. Brother Freista said, hey, I'm not catching this. And that's why we kept dealing with it. It's not about just us throwing out information. That's not how learning is. It's not us just giving information out and then having the expectation that you're going to be able to understand everything that's being said by an instructor, a teacher, or somebody in some position of authority. The way that we learn and we grow together as people is by taking the time to make sure that we are valuing what people say they know and they don't know, how they apply, how they do not apply, the various amounts of information that's coming to us. So I think for next week, what I really want us to do is, in addition to, quote-unquote, the homework for next week, of checking to make sure that we all take a look at our credit reports. And, again, you can go on annualcreditreport.com and you can pull it up, and so you don't have to wait. I definitely want us to do that, and I definitely want us to take some time to look and find out what our balance to limit ratios are. And let's have a conversation about it. And the other thing is I want us to really talk about co-signing next week. Brother Fisa, as you said in your closing comment, it's not too late. It's not too late. But co-signing is something that is very, very dangerous. You can look at Proverbs 22 verses 26 or 27, if I'm not mistaken, that speak about the wisdom in not co-signing for another, and also seeing the warning that comes within that as well. We got to make sure that we're doing better this year. You know, I've given you a little bit of the statistics, and if the numbers keep going up and credit scores continue to go down on the national average, then that means that we have to make some different decisions collectively. So that's all I have for tonight. I really want to just say thank you to everybody who's been listening. I hope that tonight's episode has definitely been informative. It has definitely been some things that I've learned as well from Shatara and also from Brother Feaster and Mama. So until next week, we hope that everybody participates in the things that we're talking about. And until next week, we ask that you just come back and listen to us next week, and also go to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, and make some good decisions. So until next week, God bless you, and we love you.